Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from one of our pastors. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
As we continue in our Memorial Day service today, I want to bring up Henry Humphreys. Many of you will know Henry. Henry's a longtime member here at Gateway and actually a career Army Sergeant Major. In his military career. Several years ago, he had this idea, this thought about a ministry to vets. And so Pastor Don wanted him to come talk to you a little bit about that, so let's welcome Henry.
Thank you so much. It's always great to, well, I say, come back home. I came to Gateway in 1988 after an overseas assignment, and I was here at Gateway until a couple of years ago, and my wife and I moved back to our hometown. And I'm sure everybody's heard of it, Darlington, South Carolina. It's a little place on the map. And we went home, back home, to take care of her mother. So this place has a lot of special meaning for me. But I'm here today to talk to you about Vets for Vets. How we started Vets for Vets. Well, it started in my heart. God gave me a passion. He gave me the heart to help veterans. And I can remember a verse that God kept bringing to mind. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And from that verse, God kept bringing it to my forefront, and I kept praying through that. And I said, Lord, there's somebody else, I'm sure, that can do a much better job than I can do in starting a veterans group. I felt like we needed someone to come and help vets. A lot of people go out to the VA hospital. Don't have anything against a VA hospital, but they help them with their physical needs and their emotional needs, but not necessarily their spiritual needs. And I wanted to go one step further. So I said, Lord, give me some confirmation. I said, give me something that would help me make that next step. So right after that, we had a deacons meeting. And in that deacons meeting, the chairman of the deacons had us set up in groups, and we were rotating from group to group to group. Well, when I got to this one group, a guy by the name of Barry Whiteside is somewhere over here. Barry, stand up just a moment. Is he here? Oh, there he is. You can't see up here, I'm sorry. But anyway, I got to the group that Barry was in, and they asked me what kind of ministry I felt like that I'd like to see at Gateway. And God spoke to me and said, well, Henry, tell them about that veterans ministry. So I did. After the meeting, Barry came up to me and he said, Henry, he said, that's something that I think the Lord's been speaking to me about. We talked about that for a while. Right after that, I met with Pastor Don and Ronald Flynn. And through that, I shared with them what I felt like the Lord was laying upon my heart to begin a veterans ministry. So Barry agreed to come along beside me. He probably regretted that, but anyway, he did. And we began, me and Barry, and we started it not only for the veterans that would be attending Gateway, but our goal was to branch out into the community as well. So from there, we started doing that, and the ministry started growing. And today, that ministry is still going well. We have so many folks that that I feel like that it has touched. And I still have a great passion for veterans. You know, I took care of soldiers when I was in the Army for 30 years, and I still feel like I'm taking care of soldiers. Even when I moved to Darlington, I'm continuing to help vets. And that's just something that God has given me a passion for. He's given me a heart for. There's so many veterans out there that need assistance. They need help in different areas. So when I was ready to move to Darlington, by my wife dragging me hand and toe, we went back home to take care of her mom, and I was talking to Don, and we were talking about who we could get to come along and continue the ministry with Barry. And we both came and started talking about Chuck, and we invited Chuck to lunch one day, and Chuck didn't know what he was going to lunch for, but we were taking him to lunch. So I want Chuck to come out here for just a moment. So as we were eating lunch, we began sharing to Chuck about what we felt like that God was hopefully going to lead him to do, and that's to continue the ministry with Barry. And Chuck agreed to do that. Chuck, if you come up here just a little bit closer. And whenever we were talking and Chuck agreed to do that, that ministry is still helping vets today. They're helping them in so many different ways, not only emotionally, but spiritually. And we're guiding them to things that they may need physically. We can guide them through the paperwork at the VA, and hopefully many of those that deserve to be a part of the programs there, we can get them in a pro program. But anyway, Pastor Don and I, we wanted to give this to Chuck today. Chuck actually uses this as Portraits of Courage by George Bush. And this is a book that Chuck has been using in our veterans program. So got this sent off, and we got former President Bush to sign this for Chuck. So Chuck, on behalf of Pastor Don and myself and the vets group, we want to give you this book.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And also, I'd like just to take a moment. If you are a veteran today and part of the group, would you stand up? And if you're not part of the group, if you are a veteran today, would you stand up as well? Let's give them a hand.
Good job. Good job.
Thank you all. And I just want to say thank you once again to Chuck and to Barry for continuing a ministry that I feel like God's placed in my heart. Now he's placed it in Barry and Chuck's heart, and that this ministry would continue to grow. And if you're a vet, I encourage you to come out and encourage one another and tell your story.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. It's an honor to be here today, and I want to thank the veterans that came and the veterans' family, because they serve too. When you're deployed, they're busy. They're your support package, of mentally, physically, and spiritually from home. So families, we thank you also. Today's Memorial Day. Well, tomorrow. I would like to cover some information on Memorial Day. A lot of times people get Memorial Day mixed up with Veterans Day. Memorial Day began as a decoration day after the Civil War more than 150 years ago, when citizens placed flowers on the graves of the fallen. From World War II, Korea, Vietnam, through the recent fights in the global war on terror, we have felt the heartache and held the hands of families when their service members did not return home. Memorial Day is our nation's opportunity to show families, communities, and our fallen that their loved ones live on in our hearts, and they will not forget their sacrifices. The graves in Arlington and in military cemeteries around the world remind us that freedom is not free. Each individual resting there lived and sacrificed for us while on earth. They were sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, and deeply loved and are deeply missed by someone. We as a nation go forth to ensure their memory and service in honor. Liberty and life are precious gifts. To say we owe a debt of gratitude to those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom is a misunderstanding. As I speak, thousands of soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen are engaged in operations around the globe to help us stay safe at home. The world remains uncertain, while dictators and terrorists test the very freedoms we have protected for generations. Now, as Americans around our nation pause on Memorial Day, we know this holiday weekend also represents the beginning of summer activities and with family and friends. We ask that citizens be reminded that none of this would be possible without the heroes who gave their all. Thank you for this opportunity to reflect on the meaning of today, remembering those who lived, served, and died for us. That is the meaning of Memorial Day, that we will never forget. Memorial Day is a special day to all of us. It's in memory of soldiers that have fallen, and it's in memory of service members that are still in the service. Everyone's in harm's way. Everybody thinks, you know, a lot of soldiers deploy and go straight into combat, but there's a lot of support packages that make that happen. All the family members and the connections of a brigade or a battalion combat unit all are in danger, no matter where location they're at, no matter if they're in Japan, Okinawa, Italy, France, Afghanistan, Iraq. Some are just more dangerous than others. So remember the ones that are serving, and remember the ones that have served the ultimate price. Now, you have seen some slideshows back behind me. This covers the area of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Memorial Wall of Arizona, the World War II Freedom Flight at D.C. I assisted a World War II veteran up there, and that will always stay in my memories, just to hear the World War II veterans talk. There's a memorial cemetery of Italy. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in Italy, and I visited a cemetery near Florence. That cemetery had 4,000 American soldiers buried there. And I noticed, and as I was walking around, I noticed on one of the crosses a soldier by the name of John D. Craft from South Carolina. So what I've been trying to do is reach out to the family and just let them know, if I can find them, that I was in that cemetery and I appreciate the service that he had done. The Vietnam Memorial was in Columbia, the one you see on the screen in some of the rotations. The service soldier with the service dog. The Korean War. And a good veteran, which is still alive, that we visit sometime at Loewenholm, Cliff Cahart. I think he's pushing 107 years old. He served in Iwo Jima during World War II, and he was a ham radio operator and still does it. If you go by the Loman home and notice two antennas up on the roof, that's his. One of the men displayed in the slideshow was John Cutter. He fought at the Battle of the Bulge. I've known him for 40 years and didn't know it until his last 2 years of life. And then the Marine Corps flag at Iwo Jima. And the final picture is me and my grandbaby. Now you say, why you got a picture up of you and your grandbaby? Because it symbolizes that days like Memorial Day will go through generations and generations. It should be always pushed to family and members, because all of us have somebody that's in the family. The good uncle, the bad uncle. You know, all the family members have somebody that has served in the military. This is for... I mean, you can tell by the way my grandbaby is standing, she's really reflecting on what I'm doing at that grave. And it pushes down through generations and generations, and hopefully she'll tell hers. I'd like to go over some biblical verses concerning the fallen soldiers and the soldiers that have volunteered to serve. A good example is Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah stood up and said, "Here I am, send me." That's what happens when America becomes into danger and we know that we have to go somewhere to solve that problem before it gets to our borders. Your American military now stands up and says, "Send me." 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on guard, stand firm in faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. When that soldier's on the battlefield, or even just deployed anywhere in the world, the love of the family keeps him going. The love of the soldiers around him keeps him going. Psalms 27. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. Because the soldier is strong. He knows he has hope at home and believes in the Lord. John 15. Greater love has no one to lay down his life for one's friend. People say, Johnson, why does people go over and fight and all that? You know, you got some people have that point of view. Do y'all fight for the flag? My answer is, yeah, we fight for the flag, but we really fight for the one on the left, the one on the right. Romans 13. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then pay revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. What I say today is honor the ones that's fallen to protect us in everyday life. Thank you for letting me be in front of you today. And thank Gateway, the congregation, for letting me help veterans that come to me sometime on the phone, on the internet, ask me questions, and I'll run them down because I have ways to do that. So thank you for your time and service, and I hope you enjoy the barbecue.
Thank you, Chuck. Well, yes, thank you. Here you go. I'll let you run that back there, too. Thanks. Well, I know some of you are a little nervous looking at the time, wondering about the barbecue, and that's okay. That's okay. We're going to just kind of finish up with kind of a little devotional thought kind of about what all this means. You know, as we go through this today, the one word that I think keeps coming up is gratitude, right? We honor the folks because we're grateful for what they've done, the sacrifices that have been made, the costs that have been paid. And making sure, like Chuck said, that we continue to express our gratitude is important, right? It's important. When we tell the people who have helped us that we're grateful for what they've done, it has meaning. It's this lesson that we learned like really, really young, right? I don't know where for you it began, but I bet 4, 5, or 6 years old, maybe you were at the store with Santa and the elves or whatever, or maybe it was Halloween candy. I don't know what it was. Let's just say it was a candy cane, right? Some little elf at a store bent down to you as a little skipper, right, and handed you this cellophane wrapped little packet of goodness. And as that came into your hands, your mom, your dad, your parents, grandparents, older brothers, whatever, whoever it was, ask you the question, right, that I think is universal around the world when every little skipper gets something from someone else. And the question that comes immediately, right, as it hits your little grubby fingers is, what do you say? Yes, what do you say? Tag, what do you say? And you don't say, wow, this is free. I can't believe it. Amazing. You don't say, can I have another one when I'm done with this one? What do you say? You say, thank you, right? Because there's something about expressing our gratitude that completes the gift, right? Acknowledging what you have been given, right? Recognizing it completes the action of the giver. And it's weird. We all know when this doesn't happen, it feels awkward. I mean, this has probably happened to you. Maybe there was something, and honestly, you did something for someone else. You didn't want any recognition. You didn't want any payback. You didn't even really want a whole lot of people to notice, right? But you did something for this person. You know they're grateful. You know they appreciate it. But they never said anything. And it's just kind of like a little thud right there, right? Again, because when we express our appreciation, it truly completes the gift. So even though we may feel it, we need to be sure to express it. Even Jesus wanted us to know how important it is to express our gratitude. And we see this in a passage in Luke 17. We're in verse 11. It won't be on the screens, but if you've got a smartphone or your Bible, you can flip over there. just this little story. You may have heard this before. When Jesus, he's walking toward Jerusalem, and as he's outside of this village, there are these 10 guys who have leprosy. In verse 13, it says they're crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," right? The reason they're crying out like that is because in those times when you had leprosy or an infectious disease, right? No antibiotics, what did they do? They removed you from the community, put you outside of the village, right? It's a terrible experience. You lose your family, you lose your livelihood, you lose contact because they weren't sure how it got past, wanted to make sure that it didn't continue to move around the community. So it's a pretty miserable experience. Now, I love that Jesus typically doesn't do what we think he will do, and he doesn't typically heal people the same way. So Jesus, the Bible tells us, Jesus is walking by, right? And Luke says that Jesus looked at him and said this, right? So he's over here, he's like, "Hey, go show yourselves to the priests." And then it says, he continues walking, right? So they're like, "Hey, help us." He's like, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, the reason they would do that was the priest was the one who determined in those times, if someone had leprosy or an infection, they would say, "Yep, I'm sorry, you have this, so you have to be removed." And then they were also the ones who determined that you were okay, right? So we don't know, like, was this, something that they would have gone around the block for? Was this a couple hours walk to get to the right region? Did they have to go a few days to get to Jerusalem to find the priest? It doesn't really tell us this. But Jesus says to him, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now they have this decision, right? They can stay where they are and keep doing what they've been doing, or they can make this commitment and start to walk. Because remember, they're not healed, right? He didn't say, "I've healed you." He just said, "Hey, go show yourselves to the priest." So they start walking, right? And they end up being healed as they're on their path, which probably would have looked like this. They're walking, they're covered. They look down, they start to see maybe the bumps and the lumps and the redness and the irritation, everything starts to go away. Starts to go away. And they're actually being healed. And you can imagine, if you're in that situation, that is amazing. That is exciting. That is awesome. And so what are you going to do? Well, you're going to take off to do what Jesus said, finish it, right? Go to the priest and get your life back. Can you imagine that? You're a dad, and you now get to be back with your family, right? You're a mom. You're a child. You're what everything that you had that you lost is now coming back, which is amazing. Verse 15 says, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Now, the man was a Samaritan." Now, Luke tells us this because back in the day, there was this, who's got the right way to worship God? Is it the Jews or the Samaritans? So there's this kind of yeah. So this wasn't necessarily, you know, Jesus is Jewish, all his disciples, all his followers are Jews. And so it wasn't necessarily that this guy should have known what was going on, that this guy naturally should have believed. But he stops what he's doing, and he turns around, and he goes back to Jesus and says, "Thank you." Now, Jesus asks, this is verse 17, he goes, "Didn't I heal 10 guys?" And yeah, is he throwing shade? Yes. Jesus is throwing shade at this point, okay? He's not wondering, wait, let's see, I guess I must have missed somebody. No. He knew that he healed 10. It says, he said, "Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go, because your faith has healed you." Were all of the guys grateful? You know what? You have to think. You know they were. You know that they were. But just feeling it without expressing it is apparently not enough. So today, we express our gratitude. We say thank you, right, for the service of the ones who allow us the freedoms that we enjoy through their sacrifice, which is what Memorial Day and the weekend is all about. And I would also say this. You know what? There are people in all of our lives who have helped move us forward to where we are today. Maybe it's they helped us with the success. They helped us with the job. They helped us with advice. They helped put us in the place where we are today. and moved us forward. And maybe it's time that we take Jesus at his word and decide to express the gratitude. So whether it's to someone in our military or it's someone else in our lives, because if it's important enough for Jesus to commend this one guy for just saying thank you, right? It's important for us to build that into our lives.